after a year in operation, a poll was performed, and 96% of the people that used the system had never ridden a bike in the city core before. So this is bringing about a lot of other bikers, and it's kind of like, you know, a ripple effect. You see bikes, you feel comfortable because the roads get safer, you start riding your bike, and then instead of, you know, catching a taxi somewhere with your buddies, you say, well, why would we not ride a bike? And it just, it's great to see that evolve.
Well, that's my guest today. That's Jason Meinzer of City Ride. And he's talking about the Paris system, VLIB. It's like free bicycle, where you sign up and then you can use a bicycle, ride it across town, and drop it off at your destination, turn around, do the same thing to get home. They're called bike share programs, and I've seen them myself in Barcelona, Montreal. Boulder has recently announced a program, and UC Irvine, close at hand here, has Zot Wheels coming online soon. So that's what Jason and I talk about. He's an entrepreneur who's started a software company that captures the information from these bike share systems. We get into all of that. But first, let me introduce myself. I'm Frank Peters, and you're listening to my podcast show. I call it CDM Cyclist. And I'm a bicycle enthusiast and a bike safety advocate here in the greater city is Newport Beach. And just a few months ago, I started interviewing people in the world of cycling and bike safety. It wasn't like I just started doing that, though. I've done over 300 interviews in another subject that happens to be, coincidentally, entrepreneurs and funding their early stage startups. So an interesting overlap in today's program. Well, Jason, he's raised money a couple of times for his startup, but how long will that last? And just these carbon offset credits, just how real are they? Well, we get into all of that. Let's listen.
My name is Jason Meinzer, COO and co-founder of CityRide, CityRyde. We're based in Philadelphia and are the bike sharing experts.
How about Philadelphia? Is it a good place for bike sharing experts to be?
It's a great place. There's a lot of development out here, a lot of support. We don't have a third generation bike share yet, but surely will in time. It's a great place to be, just given the culture, really, and also the easy access to the different cities around. You know, DC, a lot of momentum happening in New York right now. They just released a request for a proposal for a third generation bike share scheme, which will scale out to 50,000 bikes.
Wow. So what is a third generation bike share?
Yeah, great question. So there are three generations of bike sharing. It started in the 60s, essentially, with white bikes in the Netherlands. That was the first generation. So these were a bunch of bikes painted a color, yellow, typically, maybe white, thrown out in different locations strategically throughout the city or community, and it was a community-based, trust-based system, really. No locks. Didn't take long till they were all stolen, vandalized, thrown in canals, etc., which brought about the second generation, which incorporated locks. Now, these locks were, you know, combination locks with the same combinations and, you know, keys with the same keys disseminated to the different users or participants. So you might guess what happened. The same thing. Just took a little longer. Mm-hmm. Not until about 2000 did bike sharing incorporate automated technologies and advanced locking mechanisms, which is the third generation. And not until this generation came about was bike sharing something that could be thrown out on a citywide basis and be successful.
Jason, how about it? I've been to Barcelona in the past year, Montreal come to mind, where I've seen these third generation systems. What's your favorite city when it comes to these bike shares?
we always point to Paris because that's what's done really the most in terms of riders, users, and most importantly in terms of what we do, which is City Ride Inspire, which we'll speak about shortly.
Well, this is Paris. Good. I can justify now a trip to Paris based on your recommendation, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good spot to be. In fact, that's how City Ride was born, because the Paris system was seen in 2007. But the reason why that's the one we point to is because it has curbed traffic and parking and congestion within the city by 8% in 1 year since its birth in 2007. So
is that how you measure it, 8% ridership?
Actually, that's 8% alleviated congestion, car, automobile, private automobile congestion in the city.
And is Paris happy with a number like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And many cities have launched their programs with Paris as the kind of the program to model theirs after.
Sure. What else could a city do to get 8% traffic reduction? Huh?
Well, it's all about making your city kind of an intermodal, multimodal rather,
right.
City.
Right.
So, you know, bike sharing isn't the only thing you can do, of course. You know, there's all kinds of other sustainable transportation that you can throw into the city, such as bus rapid transit, metro lines, etc. And
sure.
Really connecting all of the modes is key, including car sharing. And even some cities have scooter sharing. So it doesn't stop with bike sharing.
Now, we're going to get into your offering in just a second here. But as I look at these ride sharing, bike sharing systems, it seems one critical ingredient is a good, you know, subway metro system, you know, bringing people into, let's say, a central city and then having the bike share program. Is that, am I simplifying it too much? Or?
No, that's a great point. And it really is in terms of the cities that have those types of commuters, you know, Washington, D.C., case in point, the Capital Bike Share. You know, the metro line is key. That's exactly right. To bring those individuals into the city core. And then once they're there, the idea is you want to have that bike share be linked to that so that they can finish the last mile of their journey, which
right.
is where bike share
right.
really comes into play, that last mile.
And that's where your offering, your company gets involved, right?
Exactly.
Tell me about City Ride.
So, yeah, just to clarify, we actually don't provide the bike sharing hardware, the bike sharing
right.
systems. The operators, the ones that provide that offering, are actually our clients. What we do is essentially two things. We are consultants within the space, and we have been for the last 3 years, the leading most consultancy in the space. And as a direct result of that, we have found a very keen insight into what the pain points of the industry are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've also developed several software applications along the way. That's where our true competence within our management team and some of the developers that we have on staff. Our vision certainly is to see bike sharing in every city worldwide with over 500,000 population. So this software and the consulting that we're doing is really directed exactly towards that.
So what specifically does the software do, Jason?
We have two software applications. One is City Ride Spark. The other is City Ride Inspire. So Spark is the system that's currently used right now by several clients, one being University of Chicago, another University of Colorado at Boulder, for example, managing about 160 bikes. This is the world's only off-the-shelf software system that manages a bike sharing program. So what type of bike sharing program? Well, clearly the ones at the universities are not the ones with all the bells and the whistles yet, such as what you see in Paris. They're those type second-generation systems that I spoke about earlier, the ones mm-hmm. with like a library checkout type model.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Spark is utilized for. Inspire is the software application that turns bike rides into cash, and it does that through carbon offset credits. Now, I'm sure we'll dive into that in more depth, but in a nutshell, City Ride Inspire is essentially a plugin that sits on top of the existing software applications that the third generation programs are using right now. And it's vendor neutral and it's worldwide scalable. So this is a application that's able to sit on top of all the existing third generation programs out there in the world, and there's close to 300 of them at this point.
Wow. So you had to like negotiate your way in to write the software and make it compatible with these third generation systems. Jason, how did you negotiate that?
Actually, it wasn't much negotiating because of the strategy that we started with, kind of starting with the end in mind. We cognizant of the fact that there were various vendors, various software applications, various hardware, firmware, etc. And without going into the tech details, essentially what we built is a secured API connection. So regardless of your hardware, regardless of the structure of your software, we have a feed that essentially picks up the data that we need to run against the algorithms that are underlying within our Carbon methodology, which again, I'm sure we'll get into, which is able to spit out the necessary reports that are able to track, quantify, verify, and most importantly, monetize the carbon offset credits generated from a bike share system.
But didn't you have to get some, you had to have some cooperation from the hardware, on the hardware side, right?
Well, the cooperation with the hardware side is really what the operator has already worked out. Those tweaks are really worked out. I mean, perhaps if you look at the data that we collect, it's a good point worth mentioning that some of the systems don't give us all the data that we seek, that we can use to really leverage the amount of money we can bring in through carbon offset credits from that program. However, what they all do is collect some base data, which is used as a default in our algorithms, which is fine for us.
Right.
It's just the ones like in Paris might collect a lot more information because their hardware communicates with their firmware and their software a little better than perhaps some of the others in the UK.
So Paris, that's a flagship installation for you, it sounds like, huh?
It certainly is. There's also one in Hangzhou, China, which is even bigger, double the size of this program. 50,000 bikes out there.
Wow, terrific. So then the actual turning your software into revenue for a city, how does that happen?
CityRide Inspire. Again, what it is essentially a plugin that sits on top of the existing systems. And through a secured API connection, gets the information that we need to run the necessary reports which speak to those trips that displaced carbon-emitting trips. So a bike trip might displace a walk trip. Sure. A bike trip might displace another private bike trip, granted.
Right.
However, many of these bike trips are actually displacing automobile trips.
That's what you'd assume, right? Especially in Southern California, that's what you'd assume, yeah.
At many locations, and it does differ depending on the geography, of course. But again, bringing us back to that statistic that I mentioned earlier with Paris, 8% curb in congestion within the private automobile sector in the city core of Paris. So you know these numbers all aggregate to a very significant one because in Paris, for example, these bikes every year there's on average about 50 million rides.
Wow.
Whoa. So these are mega deployments utilized so much. Each bike out there used about 10 times per day. Every single bike, and there's 24,000 of them.
Wow. That's a well-adopted system, it sounds like. How the bicycling public has embraced it sounds like.
The biking public has, and also what's interesting on that note is that after a year in operation, a poll was performed, and 96% of the people that used the system had never ridden a bike in the city core before.
Wow.
So this is bringing about a lot of other bikers, and it's kind of like, you know, a ripple effect. You see bikes, you feel more comfortable because the roads get safer, you start riding your bike, and then instead of, you know, catching a taxi somewhere with your buddies, you say, well, why would we not ride a bike? And it just, it's great to see that
evolve. It snowballs, yes, right. It's a game of inches, I say, like they say about football. So, tell me about your motivations. You're an entrepreneur writing software for these third generation bicycle systems. What got you started?
What got me started was, I guess, my father. This is something that really runs in our family, entrepreneurship. I have an identical twin brother. He's out here in Philadelphia as well. He has his own business. That's playsay.com, essentially creating ways, very creative ways to help people learn on the go with foreign language. And also, you know, my father supported our family all of our lives. Mother has her own shop.
So it's genetic, you're saying.
It's very genetic. You know, it runs in the blood. You know, everybody in my family has had their hand dabbled with entrepreneurial ventures. And this isn't my first, although this is the longest job I've ever held. This is 3 years in the making here. When my co-founder and I, Timothy Erickson, actually graduated, we're both Drexel alum, we actually started this company, and I actually took that entrepreneurial leap of faith, is what I like to call it,
sure,
off that corporate ladder to build mine. I had been working in the corporate space for some time, and you know, I wasn't waking up happy. I knew there could be something more, and so I wanted to do something on my own with Timothy, and we really wanted to, you know, wake up happy, excited, go to work every day. And I can tell you right now that there hasn't been one day since when I haven't woken up happy, ready to get in there, ready to, you know, get into the grind, because, you know, entrepreneurship, it's just a real roller coaster ride, ups and downs every day, never the same.
Entrepreneurship has its stresses, though, too, like making payroll and balancing the books. Tell me about that. You've had every entrepreneur deals with those issues. What's it been like for you?
Certainly. It's been a struggle. It certainly has. But, you know, again, what's the ultimate kind of mentality that's happening here is it's one of happiness. So these struggles, sure, they come, but the good outweighs those,
sure,
that bad. I mean, we have been okay. We've been, of course, supporting ourselves ever since 2007. Close to $200,000 in consulting sales to date. We've closed two rounds of funding.
Oh, tell me about that now.
So we've closed two rounds of funding, one from the Ben Franklin Technology Partners out here in Philadelphia, PA, and that's really gotten us to the point where we are today with CityRide Spark and Inspire. And absolutely imperative, critical to note, is the underlying carbon credit methodology that we have, which is essentially the paper representation of CityRide Inspire. So Inspire is the digital representation of this complex carbon methodology, which tells us exactly what the carbon offset value is for these bike sharing systems, which we're then able to monetize. And that was just last week submitted to the voluntary carbon standard. So that's a big monumental achievement for us. We've been developing this over the last 18 months, and now with this release, it's not only a big thing for us, but a big thing for the world, because about 25% of the world's carbon emissions stem from the transport sector.
Sure.
And not till now are we able to actually quantify a reduction from that sector, turn certain mobility trips into money in order to funnel that money back into the program itself to make it better and expand it and make it cheaper,
sure,
for people.
Let's go back to your source of funding there. Let's explore that some more. Who was it again that is your funding source?
Sure, it's Ben Franklin Technology Partners.
Mm-hmm. Is that a venture capital group or angel investors? Or?
It's actually a governmental, semi-quasi-governmental entity, which actually provides money in the form of non-recourse loans in many instances.
Mm-hmm. Terrific.
Ours being one. So that was the tech commercialization fund out there.
Great. How far is that going to get you?
Yeah, great. Happy you asked. That's going to get us up until we need the additional cash injection, which will be the end of January. We're coming up really
fast. It's coming up fast, yeah. Yeah.
Sure is. We are heavy into the fundraising effort and have been for the last 6 months to raise our additional round.
Who are the likely sources for you?
Angel groups out here in this area, as well as, you know, we've been speaking to some VC firms, but, you know, it's really not our fit because our ask is $375,000. So that's way too low for the VCs.
Right.
They likely might come in at a later stage for a Series A if we aim to do that. But with $375,000, we certainly will grow organically and be able to implement CityRide Inspire across every bike sharing system in the world, but what's really cool about it is it's able to scale into other verticals. So other sustainable transportation projects such as bus rapid transit and other forms of sustainable metro, subway lines, etc.
Well, let's spend a minute talking about your bike riding experience, Jason. Are you able to bike to work yourself?
I do, every day. Yeah. And we have a mobile application, which is the mobile extension of City Ride Inspire. It's called Ride Off Carbon, rideoffcarbon.com. It's free to download. I have it on my Android phone, and I use it every day to ride to and from work and wherever else I'm going. You know, bike for me is the absolute best mode of transport here in the city. Yeah. I do have a car, but I do whatever I can to avoid using it. It's such a pain in the ass, you know, find parking and
right, sure. I was in Philadelphia just a month ago, but it rained the 2 days that I was there. But I saw Philadelphia had some well-defined bike lanes right downtown. How is Philadelphia doing, in your estimation, accommodating cyclists?
I'd say it's okay.
Yeah.
Just okay. Yeah. We do tout the number. There's about 300 miles of bike lanes here, but that's certainly not in the city core.
Mm-hmm.
Reaching out to the Fairmount Park districts and what have you. I was just riding my bike in the city yesterday, right around City Hall. It's a little hectic around there, not going to lie. There's many times when I have to hop off my bike and walk on the sidewalk just to get around certain areas. But, you know, all in all, I think it's okay. It's manageable. But that's why I'm trying to get a bike share to happen out here, because with a bike share, more people are going to bike. The bike infrastructure is going to improve naturally, and everything is going to really foster a more conducive atmosphere for biking.
It's kind of like an evolutionary process, maybe, huh, Jason? Got to start with some bike lanes, and then eventually rideshare.
Yeah, start somewhere. You know, you can't toss a bike share out in a city that doesn't have the infrastructure to support it.
Right. Yeah.
That's not the best way to do it, right? But it is certainly.
Well, Jason, this is an interesting combination. An entrepreneur in the cycling world, you line up well with my blogging interests, Jason. How about for my listeners, how about the URL? They want to find out more information about City Ride.
Sure. Cityride.com, CityRyde. That's our main website.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we do have those two separate software applications, inspiremobility.com, as well as sparkmobility.com. Mm-hmm. Inspiration starts with the spark. You can grab all the information you want, including jazzy little animation videos and what have you.
They're cute. Who did those for you? Did you guys?
You know, we had a gentleman from Drexel University do that animation for us.
Yeah.
And he did a rock star job.
Yeah, he did. They did.
We leverage the university resources from our alma maters as much as we can.
Well, that's another good reason to visit the site then, too. See Jason's cool video. Well, Jason, thanks so much for joining me on the show today, and good luck with City Ride.
Thank you, Frank, and any other information I can provide, don't hesitate to reach out, and I appreciate you featuring me.
All righty. Bye-bye.
See ya.
We're back in the studio, and before we say goodbye, let me say thank you to my sponsor. That's BikeTiresDirect.com. They're an e-commerce site for all your bicycle equipment needs, your apparel equipment. I keep buying lights. I guess it's that time of year, huh? I bought new headlights, a beautiful new solar-powered headlamp, a new light for the rear of the bike. Whatever your bike equipment or apparel needs, check out BikeTiresDirect.com. I have several interviews up my sleeve. I've been reading books lately. I have a couple of authors up my sleeve, some well-known authors in this whole world of bike safety, bike advocacy, lined up in the weeks ahead. And I'm on my way to Seattle in just a couple of weeks, looking forward to some interviews in the Pacific Northwest. So I hope you're enjoying the show. If you are, I'd love to hear from you. It's quiet on this end. You do all the listening. Send me an email. I'm Frank at CDM Cyclist. Or come to the blog, cdmcyclist.com. You can leave a comment behind. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts on bike sharing systems. Well, that's it for tonight's show. Thanks so much for listening, and good night.